The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Radio Memories Network is brought to you in part by Liberated Syndication, podcast publishing made easy, libsyn.com. That's libsyn.com. The Radio Memories Network welcomes you to the earliest days of radio. All this is still ours today through the Radio Memories Network.
Welcome, old-time radio lovers, the Boxcars 7-Eleven Old-Time Radio Pod. I am Bob Camardello, your host, and for the next hour or so, your guide, as we travel back in time, back before TV was, to the golden age of radio. These great programs are brought to you, compliments to the Radio Memories Network, Libsyn.com, and of course, WPNM Radio, first heard over the Shoutcast Radio Network, and from the heart of historic Germantown.
Off to Niagara, this time we're digging the falls. Yes, we're leaving, we're hitting the road, oh, we're leaving. We're hitting the road, yes, we're leaving. We're hitting the road, oh, we're getting away from it all.
You're listening to Shoutcast Radio.
Lux Radio Theater was a one-of-a-kind old-time radio show. Imagine the greatest Hollywood stars doing one-hour versions of their biggest motion pictures, complete with full orchestra, live on stage, and with a studio audience. You don't need to imagine it. That was the Lux Radio Theater. The one and only Cecil B. DeMille was your host from 1936 to 1945 for a lavish production of what was to become a veritable film checklist of many of Hollywood's best films from the mid-30s right through the mid-50s. Every genre was included, from the darkest noir crime dramas to historic epics to bubbly musicals and broad comedies. There are some titles that are less known today, and that makes them even more historical. The stars in the movie are usually the ones in the productions, although sometimes contracts or schedules meant that another star took the part. In some, another star would be featured in one of the major roles. The productions were live with full orchestra, but many of the Hollywood legends were unused to performing in public without the benefit of retakes. Needless to say, the performances in every show are singular. The Lux Radio Theater is a masterpiece in old-time radio's crown, and each show is a historic time capsule that takes us back to the glamour of the golden age of Hollywood. Now today, we're going to listen to the Lux Radio Theater presentation of The Razor's Edge, which first aired October 18th of 1948. An adventurous young man goes off to find himself and loses his socialite fiancée in the process, but when he returns 10 years later, she will stop at nothing to get him back, even though she's already married. Well-to-do Chicagoan Larry Darnell breaks off his engagement to Isabel and travels the world seeking enlightenment, eventually finding his guru, India. Isabel marries Gray, and following the crash of 1929, is invited to live in Paris with her rich uncle, Elliot. During a sojourn there, Larry, having attained his goal, is reunited with Isabel. While slumming one night, Larry, Isabel, and company are shocked to discover Sophie, a friend from Chicago. Having lost her husband and child in a tragic accident, Sophie is living the low life with the help of alcohol and drugs. Larry tries to rehabilitate her, but his efforts are sabotaged by Isabel, who has tried in vain to reignite Larry's interest in her. Tyrone Power, Gene Tierney, and Ann Baxter starred in the 1946 black and white 20th century movie. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this truly old-time radio classic. The Lux Radio Theater presentation of The Razor's Edge.
These are my recollections of a very unusual young man with whom I was thrown into contact at long intervals. He's not famous. It even may be that when his life is over, he will leave no more trace of his sojourn on this earth than a stone thrown in a river leaves on the surface of the water. And yet, I met him first in the summer of 1919 in Chicago. A friend of mine, Elliot Templeton, whom I'd known in Paris, invited me to a sort of family dinner party at a country club.
Oh, there you are, Maugham. Welcome to this benighted city. Let me present my sister, Louisa, Mr. Somerset Maugham, my sister, Mrs. Brand.
How do you do?
She's really quite famous abroad, Louisa, so pretend you know all his books. Well, how much longer must we wait for dinner?
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll try to find out about it now.
Of course.
I should never have left Paris.
Well, why did you?
To visit Louisa and Isabel. Oh, Isabel is my niece, Louisa's daughter. She's round here somewhere.
I'd like to meet her.
You'll also meet her young man. His name is Larry Darrell, and I don't approve of him. Oh, I have nothing against him, but he hasn't any money.
We can't all be millionaires.
The fellow hasn't even got a job. He doesn't want one.
And that must be a great shock to a man like you, Elliot, who's never earned a penny in his life.
It may have escaped your notice, my dear fellow, but I am not an ordinary man. For the run of mankind, industry is essential. Oh, there's Isabel now.
She's very lovely. And that other girl?
Her name is Sophie Nelson, a sort of country cousin. Well, come, I rather think I require a cocktail.
A few minutes later, seeing that Sophie was alone, I walked over and introduced myself.
Quite a party, isn't it, Mr. Maugham? Oh, I wish I had a drink.
Well, let me bring you one.
Oh, don't tempt me. I promised Bob I wouldn't.
Bob?
My fiancé. He doesn't like me to drink.
Now, which one here is Bob?
Oh, he hasn't arrived yet. You see, he's putting himself through law school, and he doesn't finish till late. Mr. Maugham, you're a great friend of Mr. Templeton's, aren't you?
Elliot has no friends, my dear, only acquaintances.
Oh, he's an awful snob, isn't he?
Awful, but he's kind and generous. In Paris, people laugh at him behind his back, but they never hesitate to drink his wine and eat his food. Oh, is that Mr. Darrell there with Isabel?
Oh, no, that's Gray. Gray Maturin. His father's a millionaire stockbroker. He gives us class.
I see.
Gray's really wonderful. And he's so much in love with Isabel, he can't see straight.
And she's in love with Larry Darrell. Mm-hmm. I suppose that could complicate matters.
Oh, speaking of Larry, there he is now. Come, Mr. Maugham, I'll introduce you. Well, now that everybody knows everybody, excuse me.
What's the trouble, brown eyes? You're nervous.
Oh, of course I am, Larry. I'm waiting for Bob.
Is tall, dark, and legal standing you up?
Oh, I'd like to catch him trying it, Isabel. Now, be nice to Mr. Maugham.
Your old friends, Mr. Darrell, you and Sophie?
They grew up together, Mr. Maugham.
Sophie was probably the best shortstop our neighborhood ever had.
Mr. Maugham, since you're a novelist, I'd better warn you that Larry's very stupid. He knows nothing about anything but flying. But when he came back from the war, he looked so lovely in his uniform. I just camped on his doorstep until he consented to marry me. The competition was awful.
Isabel's not a bad girl, Mr. Maugham. She's just a terrible liar.
Larry, I think we've time for a dance before dinner.
Will you excuse us, Mr. Maugham?
Of course, run along.
Oh, hello, Uncle Elliot.
Isabel? Oh, I thought you were still cavorting at that horrible country club. What's the matter, and where's Larry?
He dropped me off and fled. Hello, Mr. Morne.
Your uncle insisted on bringing me home for a brandy. He thinks...
Just a moment. Isabel, about Larry, did you have a talk with him?
Yes.
Well, may I venture to inquire the result?
Larry's decided to go to Paris for a while.
Why?
To loaf.
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, that's what he told me.
Really, if you had any spirit, you'd have broken the engagement.
What can I do? I love him. Mr. Morne, I'm sorry to have inflicted this on you, but you know Uncle Elliot. Well, I'll say goodnight.
Good night, Isabel.
You think I'm upset, don't you, Mom?
You've made it fairly obvious.
Well, I'm not upset at all. In Europe, Daryl will be out of the way. And I don't see why Isabel shouldn't marry Gray Maturin before the year is out.
You've lived in France too long, Elliot. You've forgotten that in this country, a girl doesn't marry a man because her mother or even her rich and worldly uncle wants her to.
You know, I don't mind admitting I have a sneaking sympathy for this Daryl fellow. I'll keep my eye on him in Paris. I look for an apartment at a really smart quarter. Oh, I'll do him proud. I'll lend him the rose and my chauffeur now and then. Yes, Mom, I may even make Daryl my protege.
Poor Elliot. All the wonderful things he was going to do for Larry in Paris. Unfortunately, Larry would have none of it. And Elliot flicked him off like a speck of lint in his impeccable lapel. Larry spent his year in France. Then, quite suddenly, Isabel and her mother arrived.
Now, don't look so unpleasant, Uncle Elliot. Of course I'll see Larry. Darling, don't be hurt. But I didn't come to Paris just to see you.
He met you at the boat, I suppose.
Oh, and it was wonderful to see him again. Mother, doesn't Larry look marvelous?
I must admit, Isabel, he's thrived beautifully in your absence.
Indeed. Well, I haven't a very good account of that young man.
Oh?
When he first arrived in Paris, I invited him to a luncheon. I planned to introduce him to the Princess Nova Mali. He told me that he doesn't eat lunch.
Perhaps he doesn't.
And then when I asked him to dinner, he said he had no evening clothes.
Maybe he just didn't want to come.
That's the most incredible reason for refusing my invitation I've ever heard. Well, Louisa, how long are you and Isabel remaining?
Oh, I don't know,
Elliot. We'll stay about a month, Uncle Elliot. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Larry's with us on the boat back home.
You tired of walking, Isabel? This taxi.
Oh, no, no, Larry. It's delightful. All these wonderful little shots and everything. Larry, do you know I've been here nearly a month?
Impossible, darling.
I've seen you every day, and I still don't know a thing about what you've done all year.
Well, there's nothing to tell. Not really. I've traveled around the countryside, read a lot, gone to lectures. Well, that's about it.
Have you found that peace of mind you were looking for?
No.
How much longer do you think all this is going to take you?
I don't know, Isabel.
And after that, what are you going to do with all the wisdom you will have acquired?
Well, if I ever acquire wisdom, I suppose I'll be wise enough to know what to do with it.
You know what Uncle Elliot says?
Nothing to my credit, I'm sure.
Says you have a cozy little hideout somewhere.
Well, come and see for yourself. The cozy little hideout's only a step from here.
In this neighborhood? But darling...
Oh, Isabel, it only looks dirty. Come on. I'd like you to see it.
A room four flights up. In a tenement. Oh, Larry, how can you bear to stay in this backwash when America is living through the most glorious adventure the world has ever known? You just can't go on loafing forever. Oh, can you?
Well, it's possible.
But what's all this going to lead to?
Oh, I don't know, Isabel. Maybe nothing at all. But it may be that when I'm through, I've found something to give that people will be glad to take. I mean, a way of life. Oh, I'm talking like a fool, and I know it. I'll probably fail. But if I do, I won't be any worse off than the fellow who's gone into business and hasn't made a go of it.
I see. And there's nothing more to be said.
Isabel, what are you doing?
Giving you my engagement ring, Larry.
You're all dressed up, Isabel. Where are you going?
Oh, where in particular, Uncle Elliot? Larry and I are going out on the town.
Larry? But you gave him up.
Yes, dear, I know. But we thought we'd like to spend my last night in Paris together.
If he had any sense of decency, he'd never ask you. I'm profoundly shocked.
But he didn't ask me. I asked him.
No doubt there were moments that night when Isabel and Larry forgot their engagement was ended. But most of their evening was sad and strained and filled with a yearning that neither music nor champagne could quite overcome. When Larry brought her back to Elliot's home.
5 hours, you'll be on the boat train. How does one say goodbye, Isabel?
Must we say goodbye now, Larry? Or stay for a moment? We could have one last drink together.
I'd like to. Isabel, I've never seen you so beautiful.
Oh, darling. Darling.
Oh, what would I do without you? I love you so much I can't even...
You better go. Larry, no. Please, no. Don't kiss me again. Please, Larry. For heaven's sake, go.
Goodbye, Isabel.
Larry.
That was a brilliant performance, my dear.
Oh. Hello, Uncle Elliot.
I've been waiting in the next room. I left the door open just a little. Do you still want that drink? I expect you need it.
Oh, you think you're very clever, don't you?
Oh, come, child. I guessed you were up to something. Even your poor mother noticed the pains you went to make yourself particularly alluring tonight.
You're hateful.
Oh, but no fool, mon ange. Isabel, you're a beautiful woman. You had him trapped just now. You know you did.
Yes, I know. When I looked at him, when I saw he hadn't the slightest idea, I just couldn't play such a dirty trick. I couldn't help myself. I suppose it was my better nature.
Nonsense. It was your sound Midwestern horse sense. Isabel, in less than a year, you'll be Mrs. Gray Maturin with $20 million in the bank.
I'll forget Larry. Within a year.
I said less than a year. Trust your Uncle Elliot, my girl. He's a very wise old father.
I wonder...
They were married, and in less than a year, Isabel and Gray Maturin. I doubt if anyone was more pleased with this turn of events than Elliot Templeton.
I must say they make a most attractive couple, Mom. All's well that ends well.
I hope they'll be happy. By the way, was that Sophie Nelson I saw a few minutes ago?
Oh, Isabel's country cousin, yes. She's married now to that lawyer fellow. Isabel insisted on inviting them to the wedding. Why, I don't know.
Did she invite Larry Darrell?
Are you trying to bait me? You know very well Darrell's in Europe.
Yes, I saw him last spring, Elliot. He mentioned something about going to Strasbourg and working in a coal mine.
Working in a... Most undesirable young man. Now, about your plans, dear fellow. Did I hear you say something about India?
As a matter of fact, you did. I'll be in India by the first of the year.
Well, look me up when you're back, old man. Naturally, I shall be in Paris.
It was in Strasbourg, as I subsequently learned, that Larry Darrell came to a great decision. He had made a friend, a fellow coal miner named Costi.
You're late for our glass of beer, Monsieur Darrell.
Sorry, Costi. I've been over at the university. I've enrolled for a night course.
You're a fool. Why should a man who wants to develop his brain work in a coal mine?
I just wanted to, I suppose.
Hiding out, Larry? Police after you?
No.
A woman, maybe?
No, I just thought, well, a coal mine might do me good.
And when you've had enough of it, you go back to America, huh?
I suppose so.
And do what?
Sell stocks and bonds.
But what about the answers to all your profound questions? Peace of mind, happiness, how to live? Don't you know people have been asking those same questions for thousands of years?
They can't help asking them.
You know what you sound like, Larry? Like a very religious man who does not believe in God.
I'm not sure I believe in anything.
Look, have you ever thought of going to the East, India, for instance?
India?
I went there once. I met a very strange man, a saint. People from all over India go to him for guidance, for teaching.
Did he help you?
No. But that was not his fault. It was mine.
A few weeks later, Larry Darrell arrived at a sort of monastery at the foot of the Himalaya Mountains in northern India.
Why have you come here, my son?
I've come to learn. Ever since the war, I've been searching for something. Something that I'm not able to put into words. In France, I met a Polish coal miner. He told me that you might help me.
God is the only help.
I've traveled, I've studied, I've read everything I could get my hands on, but nothing seems to satisfy me.
And should you find what you are searching for?
It will be something good, something to be shared with others, but how to find it, where?
The whole world is like you, my son, restless, confused. It will always be so as long as men set their hopes on false ideals. The road to true salvation is difficult to pass over, difficult as the sharp edge of a razor. But this much we know. There is in every one of us a spark of the infinite goodness which created us. And when we leave this earth, we are reunited with it, as a raindrop falling from heaven is at last reunited with the sea, which gave it birth.
May I stay here? Will you help me?
Of course you may stay. Our life is very simple here. There are books. We will talk together. You can work in the fields if you wish.
Thank you.
Come, my son.
I don't know if Larry Darrow ever thought of Isabel in the years that passed. For there in India, he was as one lost to the rest of the world. One day, he returned to the monastery from a solitary pilgrimage in the mountains. Eagerly, he sought out his venerable teacher.
Well, my son?
Do you remember what it was you told me the day I left here?
I told you that sometimes, alone in that mountain, strange things may happen.
Well, something very strange did happen to me. One morning I suddenly awoke and walked out of the little hut. I just stood there on the mountaintop. And gradually the light began to filter through the darkness like some mysterious figure stealing through the trees. And then the first rays of the sun came up, the mountains. The mist caught in the treetops. I never felt or saw anything like it.
I know.
I felt that I'd been released from my body. And all the things that had been confused before suddenly became clear to me. I had a sense of knowledge more than human. I felt that I'd broken away and was free. I felt that if it lasted another moment, I'd die. And yet I was willing to die if I could just hold on to it. Because for that short time, I had the feeling that...
That you and God were one.
Yes. I'm going back there. I'm going back.
No, my son. Your place now is with your own people. It's been given you to see the infinite beauty of the world, which is only the reflection of the beauty of God. That vision of beauty will remain with you, fresh and vivid, to the end of your days. Go now, my son. Go back to your world.
Much had happened by the time Larry Darrow was once again in Paris. Our meeting in a little Italian cafe was entirely accidental, but I had considerable to tell him.
And what about Elliot Templeton, Mr. Mom? Have you seen him lately?
Oh, yes. He's given up his Paris home. He's taken a villa on the Riviera. All the better people are on the Riviera now.
I don't suppose you've had any news from home. That is, my home, Chicago?
Some, Larry. For one thing, there's been a great stock market crash. Gray Maturin lost everything. But wise old Uncle Elliot sold short. He made a fortune.
And what about Isabel? And Sophie and her beau? They were married, of course.
Yes, they were married. They had a little girl. The husband and child were killed last year in an automobile accident.
And Sophie?
Elliot didn't know too much about it. Other than that, Sophie just about lost her mind. I understand she disappeared. No one knows where she is.
Sophie. And now what about Isabel?
It may surprise you to know that Isabel and Gray and their two children are living not 5 miles from here.
Here? In Paris? Isabel?
After the crash, Gray had a nervous breakdown. He hasn't been well enough to work. Elliot's been very generous. He insisted they take over his home here.
Oh, poor Gray. I should look them up.
Now suppose you let me ask some questions. What did you do in India, Larry?
Well, I learned something about myself. I was very happy there. About Gray and Isabel, if you could give me their address, I might...
Better yet, I'll meet you there this afternoon. Here's the address.
Mr. Mom, how nice of you to drop in.
Hello, Isabel. How's Gray?
Oh, another one of his horrible headaches. He's lying down.
Oh, what a pity. I was hoping you and Gray would dine with us tonight.
I'd love to, but I don't see how we can. Did you say us?
Yes. Larry Darrell is back in Paris.
Larry? Larry Darrell?
He lunched with me today. He'll be dropping in any minute.
Larry. Where has he been?
India.
India? Do you realize I haven't seen him for years? Oh, yes, Marie.
Excuse me, madame. Monsieur Darrell is calling.
Isabel.
Larry. Oh, Larry, I can't believe it.
Hello, Isabel.
Larry, let me look at you. You haven't changed. You haven't changed at all.
Well, is Gray home? And where are the children?
Oh, I'd so like to show them off. Their nurse has taken them to the park. Gray's here in the library. Gray. Gray, dear, look. It's Larry Darrell.
Larry?
Hello, Gray.
Glad to see you, Larry. Sorry you caught me like this. Blinding headache.
Gray, Mr. Morn wants to take us all out this evening.
Do you feel up to it, Gray?
Oh, I wish I could say yes, but go anyway, please.
Wait a minute. Gray, would you let me see if I can help you?
How?
Your headache. I might be able to help you. I'd like to talk to you.
Well, sure.
I think Dr. Darrell would like to be alone with his patient.
Do you mind, Isabel? It won't take long.
I can't understand it, Isabel. It's practically gone. My headache's gone.
Larry, what on earth did you do?
Well, he just talked to me, and then he told me to go to sleep, and I did.
Whatever it was, Larry, you learnt the trick in India, didn't you?
Well, there's nothing so unusual about it. Sort of a hypnosis, I suppose. I merely put an idea into Gray's head that he would feel better. He did the rest himself.
Larry, do you think you could cure him permanently?
Well, I can't work miracles. But there's no reason why he couldn't cure himself in time.
But that was a miracle. I know how miserable he felt.
Can we reconsider dinner, then?
Oh, sure we can. I'd like to go out.
Excellent. Powder your nose, Isabel. I'll phone for reservation. Where'd Larry go, Isabel?
I asked him to get my rack. What did you do with my husband?
Well, Gray's getting the car. I was watching you and Larry dance. Isabel.
I know what you're thinking. Go on, say it.
You're not going to be so silly as to fall in love with him again, are you?
I've never stopped loving him. Never loved anyone else in my life.
Gray's such a good fellow. It would be a pity to hurt him.
I'll never do anything to hurt him. I'm too fond of him for that.
Well, it's your business, not mine. Well, where shall we go now?
Oh, how about the Rue de Lac?
Rue de Lac? What a neighborhood.
But I've never been there. At least it'll be different. See?
Well, if you really want to go, of course. But I think you'll be sorry. It's dirty and it can be dangerous.
That's ridiculous. Here they come. Gray, guess where we're going? The Rue de Lac.
I can't believe it. It couldn't be Sophie.
But it is. Look at her. Here in a dive in the Rue de Lac.
She's seen us.
Oh, it's not possible.
Oh, well, look who's here.
Oh, Sophie.
Oh, who'd you think it was? Oh, don't get up. Don't get up. Well, fancy meeting you all like this. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Brown Eyes. How are you?
I'm thirsty. Let's all have a drink. Patron. Certainly, I know them. They're my childhood friends. Donnez-nous une bouteille de champagne.
Très bien.
Well, I can't say you seem so terribly pleased to see me.
I heard rumors you were in Paris, Sophie.
Well, you might have called me. I'm in the telephone book. Well, Gray, you went bust into...
Yeah.
I guess it must be pretty grim in Chicago. Lucky for me, I got out when I did. Well, drink up. It's champagne.
For you, Sophie.
Thanks, Larry. When they were killed, Bob and my baby, I went to pieces. And then I put the pieces together again with Alf. My loving in-laws kicked me out.
I think that gentleman's trying to get your attention, Sophie.
Oh, that's my boyfriend. That's Coco. Oh, la paix! Tu ne vois donc pas que je suis avec mes amis! Coco's aunt. You living in Paris now, Larry?
Yes. Yes, I am, Sophie.
You remember the summer before the war?
Sure.
Oh, we saw a lot of each other then.
Oh? When?
When you and your mother were being social. We used to read poetry together. Remember, Larry?
I remember.
Well? Well, maybe I better get back to my boyfriend. He'll raise the roof.
Sophie, we'd really like...
Oh, so long, folks. Come and see me again when you've got nothing better to do. I'm here every night.
Well, I guess we better get out of here. Let's all go home. You never saw two people so crazy about each other, Larry. Sophie and Bob.
After the accident, we did all we could to help her. It was just no good. A normal person recovers in time. She just never did. She was always unbalanced. Even her love for Bob and the baby was exaggerated. Don't you think I'm right, Larry?
Sophie was as normal as any person I've ever known.
Was she in love with you, Larry?
Oh, good heavens, no. Just a skinny little girl with a ribbon in her hair. I remember her crying once when I was reading a note of Keats because it was so beautiful.
All girls of that age are emotional.
Yes. Yes, I suppose so. Well, I'd better be getting along.
Don't run now, Larry.
It's late, Isabel. And Gray here had better get some sleep.
Oh, but I feel fine, really.
Larry, we will see you.
Of course, Isabel. Good night. Good night, Mr. Mom.
Well, I should be going, too. I'll give you a lift, Larry. When I inquired of Larry where he was living, he asked me if I'd mind taking him instead to the Rue de Lap. I left him at the cafe with Sophie. For 2 weeks, I saw nothing more of Isabel, Sophie, or Larry. Then one day, in answer to a telephone call, I rushed to Isabel's home.
The idiot. The stupid, blind idiot.
If you'd calm down, Isabel, I might figure out what you're trying to tell me.
He's going to marry her. Larry is going to marry Sophie.
How do you know?
He called me on the phone. I'm frantic.
Well, it's his own affair, isn't it?
He says she stopped drinking. The fool thinks he's cured.
Well, that's possible. Have you forgotten what he did for Gray?
Gray wanted to be helped. She doesn't.
How do you know?
Because I know women. She's no good. Do you think for 1 minute she'll stick to Larry? What's the matter with you? Do you think I've sacrificed myself only to let Larry fall into the hands of a woman like that?
How did you sacrifice yourself, Isabel?
By giving Larry up. For one reason, because I didn't want to stand in his way.
Come off it, Isabel. You gave him up for a square-cut diamond and a sable coat.
Get out of here. Get out. I hate the sight of you.
I'm sorry for that, Isabel. Because the sight of you always gives me great pleasure. You're beautiful. You're fascinating. And smart enough, I've always thought, to make the best of a bad job.
No.
Larry's in the grip of the most powerful emotion that can beset the breast of man. Self-sacrifice. He's got to save the soul of the wretched woman whom he knew as an innocent child. And there's nothing you or I can do to prevent it.
But he's going to be so miserable.
Do you love him very much, Isabel?
It's a nuisance, isn't it? I can't help it.
Then why lose him altogether? Make friends with Sophie. Be nice to her.
Yes, I could ask her to lunch tomorrow. Oh, but I can't. Not after the awful things I said about her to Larry on the phone.
If I ask her to lunch, will you behave?
Oh, like an angel of light.
1 o'clock tomorrow at the Crillon. Isabel, you're not hatching up anything, are you?
Don't be hateful. Just terribly curious to see what she looks like, now that Larry's reformed her.
Mm.
luncheon with a reformed alcoholic and a jealous girl can be something of a strain. Larry was the only calm one among us. There were cocktails on the table. They seemed to fascinate Sophie, but she spoke readily and openly of having stopped drinking entirely. Isabel actually behaved beautifully. She insisted on giving Sophie a Molyneux gown for her wedding dress. Sophie was to call at the house the next day, and Isabel would drive her to the shop for a fitting.
I'm so glad you're early, Sophie. As long as the fitter can't see us until 4, we can have a nice long talk.
That's what I want, Isabel. Because there's something on my mind. You hate me for marrying Larry, don't you?
Oh, I don't hate you at all. I'd hate anyone or anything that came in the way of his happiness.
I'll be a good wife, Isabel. I was before.
Yes, I know you were. Would you like some tea, Sophie?
No, thanks. What's in that bottle?
That? Oh, it's called Prezovka. It's a sort of Polish brandy. Uncle Elliot sent us a case of it yesterday. It's really wonderful.
Oh, and to think I shall die without ever having tasted it.
Don't you love the color? It's like the green you sometimes see in the heart of a white rose. Oh, poor Sophie.
I have a great desire to drink, Isabel. But give me about 2 more weeks, though. I haven't had a drop since that night in the Rue de Lappe.
It must be awful. I mean, breaking off completely, all at once.
Sometimes when I've been alone, I've wanted to shriek the house down. But this is my only chance. Larry's giving me my only chance, I know that.
Excuse me, madame, the car is here.
Oh, thank you, Marie. Sophie, my little girl's at the dentist. As long as I have time to pick her up, perhaps I'd better.
Of course. Is that her picture, Isabel? Your little girl?
Oh, this is my other one. This is Priscilla. She's 7.
Linda. My baby, Linda, would have been 9 in November. This November that's coming.
Well, I won't be long, Sophie.
Linda. My baby. My baby. One drink. Just one drink. I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Isabel did not return till quite late. By then, Sophie was gone, and the bottle of Prezovka was empty. 4 days later, Larry finally found her. She was back in the Rue de Lappe, and worse than ever. There was a fight when Larry tried to take her out of the place. He was badly beaten. When he recovered consciousness, Sophie had disappeared. That was the last I saw or heard of her until almost a year later, when I received an urgent telegram from the police department of the city of Toulon.
How good of you to come here, Monsieur Mont. Well, I will not beat around the bush. Here is a book, a novel. You recognize it?
I ought to, Inspector. I wrote it.
Did you also write the inscription here on the flyleaf?
Yes, I did. I gave this book to Sophie Nelson several years ago in Chicago. Have you found her?
We have found her. She has been murdered.
What?
We fished her body out of the harbor. The throat was cut from ear to ear. Monsieur, how does it happen that a person of your age and respectability should be acquainted with such a character?
I knew her very slightly.
Your book was found in her room. Monsieur, we wish merely to establish a few facts about her and arrange for a burial.
Of course.
Right on, Inspector. Monsieur Darrell has returned.
Come in, Monsieur.
Hello, Mr. Mom. So they sent for you, too. Have they told you?
Yes, it's dreadful.
I've been at the morgue. I had to identify her.
Well, messieurs, we think we know who perpetrated this crime. Finding him may be another matter. Meanwhile, if you care to arrange a funeral, I can give you the necessary authorization.
We'd like to very much.
So happens, I have a personal friend who is an undertaker. Very reasonable, messieurs. Here, his card.
Thank you.
May I see where she lived?
Follow me. I shall be happy to take you there. The deceased apparently had occupied this room for about 5 months.
Mr. Mom, look.
Yes.
Ah, yes, that photograph. A man and a child. You know who they are?
Her husband and her baby.
Oh? Where are they now?
Dead. A long time ago, Could the picture be buried with her?
If you wish, monsieur.
Poetry. She still had this book of poetry. An ode of Keats. I read this to her when she was just a little girl. Fades the sight of beauty from my eyes. Fades the shape of beauty from my arms. Fades the voice, warmth, whiteness, paradise. Vanished unseasonably at shut of eve.
After the funeral, Larry came with me to Nice to call on Elliot Templeton. I had heard from Isabel that Elliot was very ill.
Uncle Elliot, you have visitors. Look.
Elliot.
Oh, my dear fellow. How very nice to see you. And Larry. Well, this is a surprise.
Mr. Mom said you were sick.
Did he? Well, I am sick.
But you don't look it. You look extremely well.
Well, really now. That's the most sensible thing I've ever heard you say. I've got the Grand Duke lunching with me on Sunday, and I've told my doctor he must put me to rights by then at all costs. Oh, too bad this should have happened just now. It's a particularly brilliant season. Are you going to Princess Novomali's party?
Of course not.
Has she asked you?
She's asked everybody in Europe, Larry. She's giving a great do. Fancy dress.
Fancy dress. She hasn't asked me. It's a deliberate insult.
Come now, Elliot. Why should she want to insult you? It's just an oversight.
I'm not a man that people overlook.
Well, perhaps she doesn't know you're in the south of France.
Don't be ridiculous. Everybody knows I'm in the south of France. It's going to be the best party of the season. If I were on my deathbed, I'd go to it.
Never mind, old boy. It may rain the night of the party. That'll ruin it.
You know, I never thought of that. I shall pray for rain as I have never prayed before. The old witch. She'd never have got anywhere if it hadn't been for me. Now she doesn't invite me to the greatest party of her career. Fireworks, my dear fellow. They're going to be fireworks. So unkind. I hate them. I hate them all. They've eaten my food and they've drunk my wine. I've run their errands for them and I've made their parties for them. What have I got out of it? Got nothing. Now that I'm old and sick, they have no use for me. They don't care whether I live or die. Not one of them. So cruel. I wish I'd never left America.
Elliot.
Go out. Go out, please. I was carried away. You must not see me like this. Come back later, please.
Well, of course.
Mr. Mom, I know Princess Novomali's secretary. I think I can do something about that invitation.
It would make him feel so much better.
You're not leaving, Larry.
I'll be back later, Isabel.
Where did he go, Mom? Larry?
Oh, I don't know, Elliot. I imagine he'll be back.
I didn't tell you before. The bishop is here today. The bishop himself. Great honor. Now I shall enter the kingdom with a letter of introduction from the Prince of the Church.
I'm afraid you'll find the company very mixed.
Don't you believe it? I shall pick and choose my company there, as I always have. Where is Isabel and Gray?
We're here, dear.
Oh, now, if you're going to make a scene, Isabel, leave my room.
Oh, Uncle Elliot.
Gray, I understand you have a job in prospect.
Yes, if I can raise enough money to start up my father's old firm again.
Well, you have the money now, my boy. I'm a rich man. I've left you and Isabel everything I have.
Mrs. McCurran, I beg your pardon. But this note just arrived for Mr. Templeton.
Oh. Mom, read it to me, please.
Why, it's an invitation. Princess Novomali's party. There, didn't I tell you?
Have you got a piece of paper?
Yes, Elliot.
I want to reply.
Not now, Uncle Elliot. Please.
I've always been a man of the world. There's no reason why I should forget my manners as I'm leaving it. Mr. Elliot Templeton regrets he cannot accept the Princess Novomali's kind invitation owing to a previous engagement with his blessed Lord, the old witch.
That night, Larry Darrell told Isabel he was leaving at once for Cherbourg. There was a boat sailing for New York.
What are you going to do when you get there, Larry?
Oh, I thought I might take a job in a factory or a garage. I don't know. Might even buy a taxi.
A taxi?
Why not? It's a good life. You're always on the go. Meet a lot of different people.
Oh, Larry, for heaven's sake. Just look what you've done with your life and with mine. What are you trying to prove? I'd hoped you'd come back to the States with us. Gray's going into business again. He'll need all the help he can get.
Gray's all right, Isabel. He doesn't need me.
But, Larry, suppose he does. Suppose something goes wrong again. He has another breakdown. You can't imagine what he went through the last time. I honestly believe if it hadn't been for the children, he'd have killed himself.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about life, Isabel. Most of us always get a second chance. I got a second chance right at the moment when I thought there was nothing in the world worth living for. Do you know what it means to see another man give up his life for you? To walk the streets at night knowing that someone deliberately died so that you might go on living?
You asked me that question some years ago. I didn't understand then. I don't know.
And I told you I didn't think I'd ever find myself. Well, I haven't yet, completely. Oh, I found some of the things I was looking for. And someday I may find them all. But I know what lies ahead, Isabel. I know where I'm going. And Gray, in his own way, can do the same thing. Because this is his second chance.
What about me? Doesn't it mean anything to you that I love you? That I've never loved anyone else but you? That my children might have been your children? Look at me, Larry. You know you love me. You know that. You've always wanted me. Say it's true. Say you know it's true. Oh, Larry, I love you. I love you. Please promise you'll come back with us. Promise you will.
Tell me about Sophie, Isabel.
Sophie?
That afternoon, she came to your house. Did she have anything to drink?
Yes. She helped herself. I had to leave to pick up my daughter at the dentist's.
But when you found Sophie gone and the bottle empty, weren't you surprised?
I just thought she got tired of waiting. When I noticed the bottle, I thought the butler had drunk it. I very nearly spoke to him about it.
You never were a very good liar, Isabel.
You don't believe me?
Not for a moment.
All right. If you want the truth, you can have it. I did it, and I'd do it again. I was determined to stop at nothing to prevent her marrying you. Nobody else would do a thing. They didn't care. Oh, Larry, you men are such fools. I knew that sooner or later she'd break down. It stuck out a mile. You saw how jittery she was. I knew she'd give her soul for a drink. I made up my mind that if I found Sophie had not touched the bottle, I'd make the best of things, try to be friends with her. Now, that's true, I swear it. Then when I came back and saw the bottle was empty, I knew I'd been right all along.
That's pretty much what I thought. Sophie's dead, Isabel.
Dead?
In Toulon. She'd been murdered.
Oh, how horrible. They know who did it.
No. But I do. There's no need to be shocked about Sophie any longer, Isabel. I've had a feeling all day that Sophie is where she'd want to be most, with Bob and Linda. Well, I know it's a very simple way to look at it, but it's comforting. Goodbye, Isabel. And take good care of Gray. He needs you now, more than ever.
Mr. Mom, he's gone. Larry's gone.
I know.
I've lost him. Lost him for good. And I love him. I love him so tenderly. And now I've lost him. Do you suppose we'll ever see him again?
It isn't likely. His America will be as remote from yours as the Gobi Desert.
Oh, it's all so crazy. So useless. What is he trying to do with his life? What does he hope to find?
My dear, Larry has found what we all want, and very few of us ever get. I don't think anyone can fail to be better and nobler, kinder for knowing him. You see, my dear, goodness is, after all, the greatest force in the world, and he's got it.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to get out of the rut of listening to the same music? Well, come on over to Let Jazz Affair, a podcast with the tech flair. Let Jazz Affair can be found on the Radio Memories Network at radiomemories.libsyn.com or at www.letjazzaffair.com. That's www.lejazzaffair.com. A place with a blend of great jazz music with a little tech thrown in for good measure. Let Jazz Affair, a podcast with a tech flair.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.